The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. As we began to see yesterday, Nehemiah faced the challenge of building back the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down. He didn't sit around bemoaning the sad state of the kingdom. He started working on the walls. We as a church face the same challenges today, and we need to be working on the spiritual walls of the kingdom of God. Join us as we continue learning what it takes to rebuild the walls of the earthly kingdom of God in the way God would have us to do it. Ralph Jr. showed me a cartoon one time about it was a field of grass, and it had one fence right down the very center of the field. And there were cattle on both sides of the field. And the cattle on the right side of the fence had their heads stuck through the fence eating on the left side. And the cattle on the left side of the fence had their heads stuck through the fence eating on the right side. And it's the same with us, isn't it? The grass is greener. Oh, one day when I get this done, one day when I retire, one day when I, one day, someday, that's not what Jesus said. It's supposed to be here and now. Lift up your eyes. Now is the time to harvest. The harvest is here. And he says, he that reapeth receiveth wages. The good question now is, what is the harvest he's talking about? I know what the world says.
It means to go out there and find a bunch of goats and turn them into sheep. Go out there and find a bunch of tares and turn them into wheat. That's not what he's talking about. This is not a down the road in the sweet by and by kind of harvest. That harvest is coming, and we're not going to be reaping in that day. There's only one. In fact, he told us, he said, don't, you know, in the parable of the tares and the wheat, you know, that's what we want to separate them, right? You know, we want to go into the church and we want to say, okay, he's clearly not a wheat. We're going to get him out. That must be a tare over here. Beloved, you don't know. You're not qualified to know. You're not qualified to do that job. We have to leave that to him, you know. So what is our job? Our job is to reap here and now. And when we reap here and now, we receive wages. What is he talking about? When we preach the gospel, when we sow the seed, you know, there are those that bring forth tenfold, some 30-fold, some 100-fold. We see some results from time to time. We've seen them here. We preach the word. That's my job, is to go out and preach. My job is to go out and lay it out there. You know, he says in verse 37 and 38, he says, herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. There are people I've talked to about the true gospel, about the doctrines of grace as we believe them to be taught here in the Word of God, that as far as I know have never set foot in Zion but went and joined Bethlehem. Tim, my brother, reaped on something that I had helped to sow. But you know what? There's people here that other people sowed, and I've reaped in the sense of a minister. You know, and I believe that's what he's talking about here, is ministers going out and preaching the gospel. You know, what did he say over there? You know, that's the worst thing we can ever do, is get into this preacher competition with each other. I've heard stories about preacher jealousy. Brother Mackey will tell you about that, about preachers that were jealous. They wouldn't preach. I know of a couple of preachers, one in particular that has never, to my knowledge, had a visiting minister preach in his pulpit. And I don't understand that. Listen, I've said this before. Brother Mackey knows what I'm about to say, and I've told Brother Buddy this. You say there's no preacher jealousy. Oh, there is. I'm jealous. I'm very jealous of these other men's gifts. I wish I had as good a gift as they do, but I'm going to preach them anyway because I love their gift, you see. So in that sense, yeah, I'm a jealous preacher. I wish I was as good a preacher as some of these other men are, but I'm going to preach them anyway. I'm not worried. I'm not jealous in the sense of I'm afraid they're going to come down here and y'all are going to kick me out and call them. Beloved, let me just say this. If a church... Especially, you know, I realize churches are made up of people, and people can mess it up so bad. I've been part of that. I've been part of a church that I believe, based on an action that they did, actually didn't take, that church is dead today. I was part of a church that I believe that God just took the candlestick away when we didn't deal with a situation like we should have done. And that's, I'm not going to go into details, but... But my point is I've been there when there were problems in church, and we can mess it up. But when a church, especially, usually if the Lord's in a matter, it may not be a unanimous decision, but it's going to be pretty close to it. The Lord's not going to move a church to get rid of a preacher without really moving in the church, if you see what I'm saying. You know, I've told you the other day, there's several preachers that I know recently that have left their churches. They lost the burden. They struggled with it. Brother Luke Laird is one of them. Brother Luke was down at 5 Mile. He lost the burden. And sometimes God does that. I also know of a situation where a church didn't call a preacher back. So in that case, God was dealing with the church, if we're assuming the church did right. So if a church, if this church ever didn't call me back or decided to call somebody else as a pastor, if I'm in my right spiritual mind, I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm going to go along with it. I'm going to be, even if I maybe don't feel it, I'm going to say, you know, I bow to the will of the church because I believe the Lord's dealing with y'all. And I trust that the Lord has got something else for me to do, maybe here at this church or somewhere else. My point is this, is that we can't be jealous of one another as preachers to where we're trying to stake out our territory and mark out our territory. Isn't that what the problem was in Corinth? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Yeah, I told you about sharing the word with somebody who went and joined Bethlehem or some other church, and vice versa. The minute I get lifted up with pride about that, I've forgotten about verse 7 here in 1 Corinthians 3. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Truth of the matter is, God always has been pretty good at keeping me humble. About the time I get to thinking I'm some big preacher, Lord, I know you're happy that I'm in your kingdom. I know you're glad to have me on your side. Something happens to remind me of just how pitiful I am. So here we see the purpose of the gospel ministry is to go out and to preach the word now, here and now. And ultimately, it says you will gather fruit unto life eternal. That doesn't mean we're going to bring life, eternal life, to somebody who doesn't have it. What it means is that the fruits of our labors here are things that, as Paul said of Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is, in chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after." He's talking about following Christ. "I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now what he's saying here is this. He's saying, "I'm already apprehended. The Lord chose me before the foundation of the world, and he has quickened me on the road to Damascus. I'm his. He got me. I want to get him. I heard Brother Neil Honey use this example one time. I thought it was one of the best I've ever heard. He said when his kids were little, he'd be walking around in the yard or in the woods holding their hand, and sometimes they'd want to slip out. And you know, sometimes you hold that little one's hand and he's holding your hand real tight, you know. And then sometimes they start opening that hand up and they start wiggling it around trying to get out. I've done that with Cal recently. We were walking across from their house trying to go to some place, and he was ready to just, his hand was like a board, you know. But I had him, and he wasn't going to get out of my grasp, okay. And I looked down at him and I said, "Cal, hold my hand." I had him, but I wanted him to have me. And see, that's what Paul's talking about here, and that's what he's talking about, the fruits of eternal life. Now, over in Matthew chapter 9, we read another instance where Jesus talks about the fields being ready for harvest. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Now, here what we have is the motivation for the gospel ministry. Notice in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says, "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, once again, he's not talking about sending a bunch of different Christ Jesuses out there to go and die different deaths on the cross to try to get them into heaven. He's going to do that himself. This isn't about eternal life. But he says the harvest is plenteous. It's not a chosen few. There's many children of God out there, but the laborers are few. And I think particularly he's talking about the disciples and the ministers, those who are called into the ministry. But there's a labor for all of us out there. So here's the motivation. Jesus, what does he say? Jesus was so lifted up with pride that he had the truth and he had it right and he wanted to show everybody else he was right? No. He was moved with compassion on them. He had compassion because they fainted. And that word faint literally means just to stop and lay down. They were so tired, they had to stop and lay down. He said they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This is where the people of God were. This is where the sheep out there were. They were lost upon the hillsides. And when I say lost, I'm not talking about unborn again. I'm talking about regenerated, but not in the kingdom and not knowing what they need to know about Christ. And he was not going out there to show them how much he knew. I've said this so many times, you probably get tired of hearing it, but nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. If you're going to be a true minister of God, if you're going to be a true ambassador for Christ, you got to care for people. It's not showing them how smart you are. He wasn't lifted up with arrogance. There's no place in the kingdom for arrogance. You know, if you get out there and say, well, you know, if you'd had the right shepherd, you'd be better off. If you had me, you'd be better off. Listen, if you hadn't had the right shepherd, you'd be stumbling around in darkness too. There's no place in the kingdom for impatience. Just because you know the truth doesn't mean everybody else necessarily knows the truth. You know, you say, why are you talking about this, preacher? Because I used to have a problem with this. When I was in high school, I was probably 12 or 13 years old when I came to understand that God was the one who chose us before the foundation of the world, and it wasn't about us choosing him. And man, I knew the truth, and I couldn't wait to tell everybody. I was ready to share it with them anytime, you know. Well, I know something you don't, you know. Sometimes, that's a real thing among people who see the doctrines of grace, and I see it among some preachers. I see it among some preachers. I'm not talking about preachers among our people that I can name you right now, but I'm talking about others out there that believe a version of these doctrines of grace. But beloved, there's no place in the kingdom of God for that. And there's no place in the kingdom of God for shirking your duty either. God's sheep need a shepherd, and somebody else shouldn't have to do it. We're going to come back to that in a minute too. Now, the last place I want to go tonight, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Remember, we're talking about the purpose of this work. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, we read what's happening here, and it gives you the background. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself should come. Therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now here he's sending the 70 out two by two. So 35 teams of two are going out all around the countryside and the hillsides and the cities to preach the good news about Jesus coming before Jesus himself ever got there. And these laborers here are preachers and disciples and ministers, those that Jesus has called to himself. And then verses 3 through 11 kind of tell them how to do it. And it's not really relevant for the purposes of this message. But notice he says, you know, in verse 3, behold, go your ways. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Don't carry a purse or scrip and so forth. He's telling them how to do it and what they're going to experience and all that. Okay, and then in verse 17, just skip down there for lack of time. It said, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And that would be pretty amazing. If I could go to somebody and cast out a devil, somebody who's struggling with the demon of drug addiction, and I could speak it and cast them out. Somebody who's struggling with the demon of some other kind of addiction, and I could just speak it and cast it out. I'd be pretty pumped up too. But notice that the results were glorious. But Jesus reminds them of what was the most important. He said unto them, I like this, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Now, I don't think he's just changing the subject here and saying, you know, startling. Sometimes people do that, right? They'll startle you by changing the subject. Wait, what are we talking about? I think he's telling them, I know you've seen demons cast out, but I saw Satan cast out. I saw him fall from heaven. I know even greater things than this. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, I'm giving you this power. Yes, it's glorious. But look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't come back all excited about this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notice what he does. And I don't mean to be critical, but I'm afraid some of our friends and neighbors and even children of God that are in some of these churches you see on TV or you hear about where all this lights, camera, action stuff occurs. I've seen videos lately of people so-called speaking in tongues. They're not really speaking in tongues. They actually look like they're demon-possessed. But there's all these gifts of so-called healing and that sort of thing. And that's the focus in those churches, is on that. That kind of spiritual gift that they claim is still here, which it's not, let me assure you. I believe in divine healing. I just don't believe in divine healers, okay? Jesus said, you're missing the point if that's what it's all about. Here's the point. You need to tell the good news and rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, he didn't say go get people's names written in heaven. That's not what he's doing. Those names are already there. You preach the word to those whose names are already there. This is what the ministry is all about. The results in that day were glorious, but they won't always be. Sometimes they'll reject you. Sometimes they'll kick you out of their cities and out of their homes. But here is the point. And then he says, the point is your names are written in heaven. And then he said, in that hour, that very moment, that very time, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Notice they came back rejoicing in verse 17. They came back with joy saying, Lord, the devils are subject unto us. Jesus rejoiced in the sovereign grace of God. He said, I thank you, God. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent. It's not coming through human intelligence. It's not coming through human means. He said, you've revealed them unto babes. The truths of his sovereignty, the truths of his gospel, they've been revealed unto babes. And you know, here's the reason. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You see, it all comes back to the sovereign grace of God. That's the point of the work. That's the purpose of the work. That's why we're rebuilding the walls and strengthening the walls of the kingdom of God today. We've got work to do in our churches, in our homes, in our communities today. Some walls need to be rebuilt, walls of doctrine. Some walls of morality need to be erected. Some gates need to be repaired to keep out the world. And too often we leave it to somebody else. I told you I'd come back to that, and I'm going to close with this. Brother Mackey knows what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to give credit to my brother Josh Coker, because he got me to thinking about this. But I found this online. I'm not sure if it's the same one he used or not, but he read an obituary recently. And I want to read this obituary to you tonight. It's the obituary of somebody else. Somebody else. Here's what it says. Pretend you're opening up a newspaper and you're looking at the obituary section. We were all saddened to hear of the death this week of one of our hardest working citizens, someone else. When someone else died, it created a huge void in our community that will be difficult to fill. Someone else was with us for many years. Someone else always did far more than a normal person's share of the work. Whenever there was a job to do, overtime to pull, or a meeting to attend, one name was always on everyone's lips. Let someone else do it. Whenever there was a need, everyone just assumed that someone else would volunteer. It was common knowledge that someone else was the hardest worker in our neighborhood. Someone else was a wonderful person who often appeared superhuman. In all honesty, everyone expected too much of someone else. So now that someone else is gone. What will happen to our schools, our children, our churches, our community? Someone else left a marvelous example for us to follow. But now, who is going to do the work that someone else did? Will it be you, or will it be someone else? Pretty good obituary, right? Well, you get the point. The work is real, and it's our job to do it, not someone else. And I appreciate your kind attention tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.